Up to the party.
All right, everybody. Good afternoon. I'd like to call Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Today's Tuesday, March 30th, 2021. Let the record reflect, time's 3:31 p.m. Today we're going to go. We are going to continue to meet remotely, except for myself and committee aide and the folks helping us out from the ledge staff in the room. We do have available and on Teams as well. Vice Chair Senator Reinbold, Senator Costello, Senator Holland, and Senator Kawasaki. Myself, Chair Schauer, in the room. As the State Affairs Chair, I'm still having State Affairs Committee members meeting remotely, except for myself and those I've already mentioned. We'll be on the video uplink through Microsoft Teams. Public is able to watch a meeting via the online portal as well, normal operations for that. As a reminder, we're doing this because of many people's concerns over COVID in the building and the fact that we're still meeting in close proximity throughout the building in the various meetings through the day, so wearing masks doesn't quite follow all the guidance. So we're trying to keep everybody safe and follow the appropriate guidance, which is not quite the policy in the building. So this is helping to mitigate risk until time that we can hopefully change a policy when the risk is attenuated enough. So I just continue to highlight that for the public. Everybody that's on the video conference day, please remember to mute yourselves now that we're back in business until it's time to speak. And we'll continue on with staff for today. I've got an arrest from my office, Carrie Cooperwriter from Senate Records. We've got Nate behind us helping with records. As a review, for the procedural adjustments for operating remotely, I generally see everybody on Teams and have additional members of the public online through our traditional LIO setup. However, you may go to a black screen with just initials, so I may not see the hand wave, so just either wave your hand, try to say something on text on the string if you need to do that, or you can simply just go unmuted and let me know that you're there. So that's a lesson learned from the past. If you have a question, go ahead and speak up. We're going to conduct the meeting in the same manner as before, so the same rules otherwise, and we're going to be hearing testimony from a couple boards and commission appointees today, and then we've got SB 95. We're going to go ahead and take roll call, and I'd ask each committee member to state your name, where you're physically located in the building, including your office number, so just so we have it on the record that we have a quorum and where everybody's physically at, and we'll start down that list again. Senator Reinbold.
Good afternoon. I am room 427 in the state capitol.
Thank you very much. Senator Costello.
Good afternoon. I'm in room 119 in the state capitol.
Thank you very much. Senator Holland.
Senator Holland, room 113 in the state capitol.
Thank you, sir. Senator Kawasaki.
Hi, this is Senator Kawasaki. I'm in room 7 in the state capitol.
Thank you very much, sir. All right. I realize that all of our reports out of this committee are subject to acceptance by the body. I appreciate the recent change by Senate colleagues to allow us to operate remotely as we are. At the end of the committee meeting, each senator will come down to the room and sign documents, so I'll maintain control of all paperwork until it's transmitted to the Senate Secretary to follow the protocol as has been approved. We have a total of 6 items on the agenda, but we may be a little bit short. Looks like we're missing a couple of the board appointees, but we'll get through the ones we have. And then we have SB 95, sponsored by Senator Wilson. Any questions or comments from committee members at this time before we get started? Okay, after the brief pause to make sure, seeing none, we're going to move on to governor appointee boards and commissions. There has been a question about whether it's necessary to hear them all, and the position for myself is we're going to continue to hear all the ones that have been put in front of our committee until they have a chance to do so. We won't move them on. We're going to do one at a time, then open up public testimony for each one. After they've all been heard and public testimony is closed, I'm going to ask the vice chair for one single motion to move them out of committee. We'll sign the paperwork after. Today, just for information, and just going with who I currently have available, we have Jennifer Winkleman appointed to the Alaska Police Standards Council. We do have Joseph, we do not have Joseph White. We have John Farr appointed to the Military Appeals Commission, and we are also missing Justin Dole and Larry Nicholson. So hopefully a few of those will come up and we'll be able to get them done. However, that being said, we're going to start off with Jennifer Winkleman. Welcome to State Affairs. Hopefully you'll pop up here with your smiley face in a moment. Please put yourself on the record. Jen, you've done this before. You know how it works. So go ahead and introduce yourself to the committee and why you'd like to continue on the council. And when you're ready, you have the floor.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Chair, and thanks, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jen Winkleman. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Jen, go ahead.
Okay. Excellent. I am the director of the Division of Pretrial Probation and Parole for Corrections. I thank you guys for your time today in regard to my reappointment for the Correctional Administrative Officer position on the Alaska Police Standards Council. By way of introduction, I'm a fourth-generation Alaskan, born and raised in Fairbanks. My family relocated to Juneau in 2016 following my promotion with the Department of Corrections. Graduated from the University of Alaska Fairbanks with a degree in Justice and Paralegal Studies. and I've been with the Department of Corrections both in the institution as well as the field for just a little over 20 years. I love the work. I'm passionate about what I do. I would say it's the best job in the world. My husband, Ron, also retired from, or also a former DOC employee, retired from DOC after 30 years of service. So live here in Juneau. Why I'd like the position is, or continue on with the position, I was appointed to Director of Probation, Pretrial Probation and Parole, was presented with this opportunity to serve on this council. And it kind of took me as not only an honor and a privilege, but it also took me outside of the comfort zone of corrections that I was so familiar with. I do have experience managing offices from Utagavik down to Ketchikan, and I recognize the challenges that Alaska law enforcement endures, and yet appreciate the need to maintain a level of professionalism when it comes to training and hiring. Being part of the council allows me a voice in ensuring Alaska is operating under best practices. And on the other side of the coin, so to speak, service on the council also allows me a part of helping restore faith to those who've lost it towards law enforcement when cases of misconduct are brought to our attention that we need to address. I have served on the Alaska Police Standards for the last 2 years. We live by our mission and core services, and I feel like my experience and personality would continue to be an asset to the council. I have been fair and impartial in making decisions that impact officers and communities. And I think just to answer a couple of Senator Schauer's questions, I was prepped ahead of time that I've watched other confirmation hearings. I just wanted to state on the record, I don't have any criminal history, conflicts of interest, or any other surprises that would surface, skeletons in the closet, so to speak, if I were fortunate enough to have this committee's support. And I am have reviewed, and of course, I'm familiar with the state ethics policy as well. So that is all I have, and I am certainly open for questions, and thank you for your consideration and support.
Thank you, Jennifer, for answering those questions. It certainly makes it go a little bit faster. I'll open it up to the committee, but I'll start with one. Is based on, you know, today you see a lot of strife in our country over policing methods, et cetera, defund the police. There's a lot of different movements that are out there. Everybody has their opinion. That's the right. Do you see any things or have ideas about things that perhaps we should, and I'll just give you my opinion, I don't think defunding the police is a smart move because who are you going to call when you have an issue? However, strategies, policies, et cetera, are always on the table to me if we think we should be doing things better based on feedback from citizens and how things may or may not be going well or otherwise. So I believe it's an absolutely fair and valid discussion to be having that. Do you see do you have thoughts of your own with what you've seen with where we sit today on things that you might bring up or would be a proponent of that might help with where we sit today, just from your perspective?
Yeah, great question to the chair. I think the biggest thing that we are going through right now is with the Alaska Police Standards Council, I think it encompasses everything that you just mentioned due to the current culture and surrounding law enforcement in general, if you will. And what we're doing right now is going through a pretty substantial, we have right now that we're getting ready to review, is a pretty substantial regulations package. And that is to ensure that we are meeting best practices as far as training and certification goes. So, you know, personally, I have been taking a lot of time. As a matter of fact, we were in a meeting today with the council, and I personally have been reviewing them to ensure that we aren't, they're not, that they're specific where they need to be and not so broad that we're, you know, making a mistake in adding new regulations or enhancing the regulations, but also meeting the needs of everybody, all community members that have interactions with law enforcement. So.
Thanks, Jen. Do you, when you're done with that, will you produce a report or something that's available to us? How would we be able to, you know, find out what you did and changes that were made? Is that something that as a committee or as the legislature we can get a hold of?
So to the chair, I'm not positive on how the end comes, but we're working on it right now, and it's actually on the Alaska Police Standards Council. The regulations package is out there. I believe public comment ended, and then what will happen is the council will start working on after we'll take into consideration all the public comment that was made and then work forward on producing the regulations that I believe will come through your body.
Okay. And the reason, part of the reason I asked is I've talked to a number of friends in law enforcement, both federal and state, local. And I know you do as well, of course. And I think that one of the issues I've heard even a number of law enforcement officers say is that they feel like that the information is available, but it's not broadcast and the public doesn't understand those things because we're not doing, and I say we as a government are not doing a great job of highlighting what those policies are so that people understand use of force and other things where there are issues. And it doesn't mean that they, you know, that's not valid to have the discussion or changes that might need to be made, but that we're not doing a great job of communicating. And I ask it in that vein, if it's something the legislature, you know, will see that we can help kind of get that word out, that people understand what those changes are and make sure that it's transparent for everybody to see it, you know, to include being broadcast. One of the bills came before the committee about just ensuring that, you know, use of force policy, for example, is put out there very easily found so that people don't have questions about what it is, because that often creates the conflict, right? You have questions about what the policy is and people don't understand it, and now you cause conflict that just continues to fuel the fire. So anyways, for what it's worth, thank you. I'm going to open up the committee. I don't want to monopolize time. Other committee members, questions, comments for Jennifer? Senator Holland.
I'm first up. Hey, yeah. Hey. So first of all, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Winkleman, thanks so much for stepping up. Two things, one thing you said and one thing you wrote down here. So outside your comfort zone, I appreciate that. It's like, I am still outside my comfort zone in this job, and it's a challenge, I'm sure, for you ahead of you, and I appreciate your willingness to embrace it. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I see an uncanny ability to think outside the box, and I like to think of that as myself, too. Do you have any example or anything that steps out? I know it's like putting pressure on you. You do it every day, probably, but if you have like an opportunity to where you thought you might have been thinking outside the box. I don't want to put you in the spot, though.
No, thank you for that question through the chair to Senator Holland. I appreciate that. I appreciate your comments as well. Interestingly enough, in the world of corrections, in my comfort zone of corrections, I know exactly that sentence that you're talking about. I've always thought about trying to figure out new and innovative ways to do our business. And then you take COVID, and we, like the rest of the world, we pivoted with how to supervise and how to enforce and how to do everything on a dime. But there were many things that we implemented and pivoted on, and talking very specifically, but it certainly encompasses all law enforcement, if you will, on how to meet the needs of those that in corrections world that were supervising and yet still enforcing their probation and parole conditions, et cetera. So it's funny because I remember thinking we could be doing some of this more virtually. We could get tours around people's houses and things like that. And so here we are. But anyway, that's a very specific example, but I know that it was interesting to watch it sort of pivot as the world pivoted. So.
Thank you, Ms. Winkleman. Thank you, Chair, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Senator Holland. Other questions, comments from committee members? Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. That's kind of nice to just be able to lift hand. I just wanted to, we also heard Jennifer Winkleman in Judiciary, and thumbs up. I think you're just a great combination between smart, hardworking, tremendous experience, savvy, willing to do really tough jobs. I've talked to a lot of parole officers, and I cannot believe what they have to do. I am blown away. And I just think you're exceptional for the position, and I just want to say thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thanks, Senator Reinbold. Other comments, questions from committee members?
Yep, this is Scott. I just wanted to say, because she's from Fairbanks, she has all those distinguished qualities, Laura.
Okay, before this devolves, I won't go any farther into that conversation, so... teams can be a little bit wily as I watch you guys on the screen talking when you got it yourselves muted. Okay, moving on. Any other serious questions from committee members or comments for Jennifer? Okay, at this time we're going to go. I don't see any, so we're going to go ahead and go into public testimony on Ms. Winkleman. Public testimony is open on this time from her appointment. There's nobody in the room, so it's just weird. I don't have to ask that question anymore, but I will. For the record, and I don't see anybody online to testify, correct? Okay, at this time, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony. So, Jennifer, thank you for taking the time, as always, to come on board. You're cleared off, so you don't have to waste the rest of the day. Get back to work, and we will see you later. Take care. We're going to move on to our next one, and unfortunately, we had five. I only see two. We're on to the second one now, so we're going to skip down to John Parr. For the Military Appeals Commission. So, Can you hear me okay, Mr. Farr?
Yeah, I can, Senator Schauer. This is John Farr.
All right. Well, welcome to State Affairs. You know how it works. Put yourself on the record and introduce yourself to the committee and why you'd like to serve on the board. And when you are ready, you take it away.
Thank you, Chairman Schauer. I do have a prepared statement here, which, with your indulgence, I'll read.
Go ahead.
Chairman Schauer, members of the committee, my name is John Farr, and I am honored to have been nominated for the Military Appeals Commission. This is my 43rd year in the full-time practice of law, and I still regard it as a great privilege to use my training and skills to help people who really need my help, sometimes desperately. My military career developed alongside my legal career. It started in 1971 when I joined ROTC as a freshman at Penn State, where I was awarded a two-year scholarship, was a distinguished military graduate, and commissioned a second lieutenant. In 1974, I completed airborne school and got my jump wings. After a three-year educational delay to attend law school at Georgetown University Law Center, I entered the Judge Advocate General Corps as a captain. In 4 years on active duty, I was stationed at the disciplinary barracks, the military prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, then 1 year in Korea, and then Fort Lewis, Washington. After active duty, I stayed in the reserves while in the private practice of law and completed 20 years in the reserves, earning a retirement. This duty helped me stay engaged in the military community and stay up to date on military law and procedures. To complete 20 years in the reserves, I had to do 2 weeks active duty every year, pass a physical fitness test and a weigh-in, earn 50 points per year, and satisfy educational requirements, including the advanced course and the U.S. Army Command and General Staff College. I retired as a lieutenant colonel after 20 years. While serving as a military lawyer, I served mostly as a trial counsel, military prosecutor, and in the trial defense service or military defense counsel, but also as an administrative law officer and a legal assistance officer dispensing legal advice to soldiers of all ranks. I was awarded the Meritorious Service Medal and 3 Army Commendation Medals. The military means a lot to me and has been such a major factor in my life that I would be thrilled, and no lesser word will suffice, to be able to give back by serving on the Military Appeals Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Farr. That's very excellent. I'm familiar with all of those terms, having done many of those things myself. So I'll start off with a couple of the standard questions. You may have heard those, so you can go through them pretty quickly if you like. But just on the top level for due diligence, any conflicts of interest, ethical or criminal issues that would create a problem with serving on this commission?
I did get a list of 5 bullet points here, Senator Schauer, and I don't know of any conflicts of interest. My life's been pretty boring. No criminal convictions, no political contributions that could create a ethical or APOC conflict of interest. I reviewed the state's ethics policy, and through my whole career, of course, I've been subject to a strict ethical code, so that's nothing new. We really have to be careful, and we're pretty closely watched, and there's a lot of oversight. I don't think I have any skeletons in my closet. Like I said, my life's been pretty boring, and so I just want to hunker down and hopefully get the job done.
Okay, thanks, John. I appreciate that for all the answers. It's just due diligence. Like I said on the record, I keep saying it. This is not to reflect that I believe any individual has these particular issues. It's only that as public servants, we should make sure and ask the right questions of people that will have positions of authority. So I appreciate that. And I will tell you, as a lifelong professional pilot for almost 40 years of flying now, boring is usually pretty good. Exciting is not always that much fun. So open it up to the committee members. If you have questions, comments, go ahead. Anyone? Senator Holland, it looks like you do. You almost did. Okay, Senator Holland, go ahead.
Sorry about that. My mouse was not cooperating. It had run off the screen, and I couldn't bring it back. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just wanted to commend John. I think a lot of people, especially those with military experience, they like to refer to their life as boring. I kind of think mine's pretty boring, accentuated with moments of excitement. But he has a great history here. I think he'll serve well on the Military Appeals Commission. I really appreciate him stepping up and wanting to continue to serve, and I just want to say that. I just want to thank him for his service, both in the military and from the legal standpoint.
Thank you, Senator Holland.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Holland.
All right. Other comments, questions from committee members? Okay, seeing none at this time, we're going to open up public testimony, Mr. Farr. All right, I see no one in the room. I see no one online. Is that correct? We're going to go ahead and close public testimony. At this time, just to validate, I see a bottom person there, but that's just a nothing on it. Okay, so it looks like, unfortunately, we don't have any other members of the five we were hoping to get today. So let's go ahead and jump to the end. John, you're welcome to thank you for taking the time this afternoon, of course, and stepping up. You're welcome to drop off if you'd like and go back to whatever else you had. We're going to continue on at this point and move the committee or move these appointees out of the committee today. Senator Reinbold can have a motion to pass these appointees out, but if you would just strike through the three names we did not have, just the two that we had, Jen Winkleman and John Farr, please.
Senator Schauer, or Chairman Schauer, in accordance with AS 39.05080, the Senate State Affairs Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Jennifer Winkleman and John Farr for their respective boards and commission. This does not reflect the intent of any member of this committee to vote for or against the appointee in any further sessions or for their confirmation.
Are there any objections? Okay, seeing and hearing none, the appointees heard today are moved out of committee. As for efficiency, just remember I'm going to hold the paperwork here, and once the committee meeting is over, have all of you come down and sign it off. We're going to move on to the next agenda item, SB 95, Search and Rescue Surplus State Property, and we should have Senator Wilson and staff on the screen on Teams with us. Thank you. So, Senator Wilson, thanks for bringing SB 95 back to State Affairs today. We're going to hold public testimony, but we're going to bring the bill back up for discussion as you have two amendments, which I'm going to move for you in a moment. Tell me you do it all yourself. All right, before we begin, do any committee members have questions or comments for Senator Wilson as the bill sponsor in SB 95 before we start? Okay, we're going to offer up the two amendments. I'm going to do that for SB 95 before it's brought up for public testimony. Everybody should have the materials. They're very simple. They're more technical and conforming, very simple amendments brought up by the sponsor, Senator Wilson. And has everybody had a chance to review those? Okay, seeing head shakes there. That's good. So this time, Senator Wilson, what we're going to do is I'm going to go through the normal process of the amendments. It's a little weird not having everybody here, but we're going to do it just as if we're all in the room, and I'll do the normal thing to add each one. Does that sound good to you? Okay. Don't forget to unmute yourself.
Yes, sir.
Got it. Thanks. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move at this time Amendment 1, which is Bravo 1, and I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. Senator Wilson, can your staff or yourself, if you were going to do it, walk us through, please?
Yes, for the record, this is Senator David Wilson, Chairman Schauer and the State Affairs Committee. I just want to say thank you again for bringing this bill back up for your consideration today. My trustee staff, Ms. Jasmine Martin, would be more than happy to go through this the two amendments and give a detailed explanation of them.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Ms. Martin. You got it. When you're ready, Jasmine, go ahead.
For the record, Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. Amendment B1 would just add state following surplus on page 1, lines 10 and 13. And this would just clarify that this only applies to state property. It doesn't apply to federal property or other property being processed through DOA.
Okay. Like I said, talking to the sponsor, very simple amendments. Do we have any questions or comments, discussion from committee members? I have none. Senator Holland, did you have your hand up? It was hard to see there.
Chairman Schauer, nope, just giving you a thumbs up. I was good.
Okay, thank you. It was, you went to the little screen there, and I couldn't tell that one. It gets tough. Okay, at this time, I have no further questions. Looks like there are none from the committee members. I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection. Are there any other objections from committee members? Okay, seeing none, amendment number one is accepted as part of the working document. We're going to go at this time to the second amendment, and we'll repeat the process. So I'm going to go ahead and move Amendment 2, which is Bravo 3. I'll object for the purposes of discussion. I suppose, Senator Wilson, we're going to go back to Jasmine. Go ahead.
Again, for the record, Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. Amendment 2, so B.3 would add obsolete or following 2 on page 1, line 2 of the title. And this would just make the title conform more completely with the actual language of the bill. It's just a technical fix.
Okay. And like I said, these were really simple today, folks. So any questions or comments from committee members? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection. Any further objections from committee members? Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and have Amendment 2 accepted as part of the working document. Okay, so both amendments will pass. And any questions, Carrie, before we move on? Good there. It's a little different, so make sure we're good. Okay. Do any members of the committee have further questions before we move on to public testimony? Oh, sorry. Senator Kawasaki, go ahead.
Yeah, just two quick questions for the sponsor, the sponsor's person. I put it in the chat. So does the state have to dispose of the state property to the highest bidder, or is it normally just a process by which they say we have this stuff and anybody can have it?
For the record, Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. I'm not sure if anyone from the department is online right now, but to answer your question through the chair, so generally how it works, and this is generally, I think it's different for some of the different property, it goes on an online auction site where there's an online auction, but I also think sometimes there's a buy it now price,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not completely sure on that.
And just a really quick follow-up, if the surplus property is on a site and a rescue group, search and rescue service group has the first right of refusal, are they specifically notified, or would they just also have to look at this online public notice and just catch it before somebody else does?
For the record, this is Senator David Wilson. Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, this would change that process. So currently, let's say if Department of Transportation had a Ford F-150 that was no longer in use, they would first go through interagencies to see if another department could utilize that said piece of equipment. If not, then it would go out to these other entities that would qualify under this bill for that offer of first refusal to purchase it outright without going to a bidding process. In this case, the department expects it to be sort of a first-come, first-serve type of situation and allow those entities to go ahead and place that. We don't see this being a large number of entities that maybe that would need to that would be sort of fighting over these pieces of equipment. Just it just gives them an opportunity to sort of have what the department feels is a fair market value for that piece of the used equipment, and they're going to write the regulations for that to go ahead and to allow those entities to purchase. Then it would go back on to the buy it now sites or the auction sites if no one within that time period that they set forth would for the offer of first refusal does not come forth, then it goes to those other sort of decision tree, if you will.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Wilson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Kawasaki. Other questions from committee members? Senator Holland.
Question. Thank you, Chairman Schauer. My question is just, is there some pass-fail on what is an approved group of volunteers? I'm just curious because does it have to be a formally organized private nonprofit corp or something like that? I only ask because I'm also involved with the Coast Guard Auxiliary, which is a volunteer branch of the Coast Guard. I don't know if they qualify for this because they're part of the Coast Guard, but I'm even there's several search and rescues. I just wonder if there's a criteria on how they qualify. Thank you.
Through the chair, this is Jasmine Martin, staff to Senator Wilson. If you look at the bill itself, so it has to be a group of volunteers that are organized, and they're organized to provide search and rescue services. We wanted to make that definition broad enough that it could capture kind of all of the different diverse organizations we have in the state, but also narrow enough that any, you know, Joe Blow with a snow machine could not, you know, not take advantage of the program. So DOA thinks this language is narrow enough to allow them to define this and keep basically random people out of it, but also broad enough to actually capture these different organizations we have across the state.
Follow up through the chair.
Go ahead, Senator Holland.
And so, through the chair, if I understand correctly, so these organizations will go straight to the DOA and present their document and be approved or denied at that point, correct?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Thanks so much.
You got it. Other questions, comments from committee members? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and open the meeting up for public testimony on Senate Bill 95. Public testimony is now open. Nobody in the room. However, it looks like we do have Jane Stolpe. I hope I got that right, Chief, from Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department. And when you're ready, sir, go ahead and put yourself on the record with name, who you represent, and present your testimony.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is James Stolpe, and I represent the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department as their fire chief. I would just like to say thank you, first of all, to Senators Wilson and Hughes for setting this up. I think this is a great bill. I support this wholly. I think having something like this for groups that may not have a lot of money to go out and purchase something outright gives them a chance at, you know, slightly used equipment that they can still use and serves a purpose. And I just want to say thank you very much for your time, and I hope this thing goes all the way. Thank you ever so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Chief, for coming in and for a very concise testimony. I don't see anyone else on the line, so this time we're going to go ahead and close testimony on Senate Bill 95. Okay, it's my intent to go ahead and move Senate Bill 95 out of committee today. Senator Reinbold, may I have a motion to move SB 95, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate State Affairs Committee, Senate Bill 95, Work Order 32LS0593-B, as amended with the associated fiscal notes, be moved out of the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Are there any objections? Okay, seeing and hearing none, the bill is moved out of committee. And after the committee meeting is over, I'll have all of you come down here shortly to sign the paperwork. Thank you. Our next meeting is going to be Thursday, April 8th, which is the next Thursday at 3:30 p.m., at which time we'll be hearing bills previously heard. Should be able to bring up SB 39 that time with election integrity. Committee members, please make your way to the Butchovich room, to sign the committee report as soon as we adjourn. Seeing no further business before the committee, we're going to adjourn at 4:04 p.m. Thank you.